Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the campus of Syracuse University, my first of the Monday night shows through the month of April, and I'm so grateful not only for the technical expertise of the guys who helped me to plug in and then the keys, and you're not going to believe this with all of my craziness of trying to get out of the house after just a 90-minute nap on Monday morning. Yeah. I got my laptop and the equipment and snacks and coffee and, thank goodness, remembered clothes. I forgot my ID. And so I get all the way up here to campus and I don't have my ID. And so that became a thing too. I had to find an ID to borrow and all that jazz. So yeah, it's the first time, the first of these four Mondays. And I'm excited to be here and the process will be smooth moving forward because of the technical staff here, the facilities people at Newhouse School of Public Communications. It's a show in which we'll spend a lot of time on the men's national championship. Little bit that's noteworthy from the women's national championship still. And then a couple of other kind of fun elements to drop in. Bless, you're cracking me up with some of your solar eclipse stories or lack of stories. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Johnson with a left-hand dribble, top of the key. Hands it to Newton. Newton lobbing it to Johnson again! He's got springs in the shoes. Leaping over the rim. Flushing it home. Rebound UConn on the run. DR to the rim. Scoops it up. Lays it in. 56-40. The Huskies running to a second straight national championship. Timeout. Purdue, 6.9 to go. In it comes to Ethan Morton. He's going to dribble this one out. And the second verse is the same as the first. UConn repeats as national champions. The third team to repeat in the last 50 years. 75-60 the final. The Huskies back-to-back national champions.
For the last 25, 30 years, UConn's been running college basketball. And I see all the former champs over there. And we've been running college basketball the last 30 years. Let's go.
I don't know how you argue with that. That's Dan Hurley, head coach of UConn, on the podium or on the stage with the confetti falling and trophies flowing. Let's welcome Jenna Fink, who is covering the national championship in the Final Four for KVOA News 4 in Tucson. Jenna, what was your perspective as the confetti was falling on this college basketball season?
Hey, Amy, thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, I mean, what a game. I think that was the reaction that everyone had here, just the dominance of UConn to win back-to-back national titles and to do so by winning by double digits. It was really cool, you know, just seeing all the confetti falling and the Husky faithful cheering them on.
At what point did UConn get its teeth sunk in and pull away?
I think there was a couple of key plays by Tristan Newton at the end of the first half, in that point in the first half. And then in the second half, they quietly really went up by like 8. And then there was another Tristan Newton play there, and you're like, okay, they're up by double digits now. Like, they're kind of pulling away from this, and it never really got close again. I mean, UConn totally shut down everyone on Purdue except for Zach Edey, and that was the game plan. I mean, I had talked to a couple of the players in the locker room afterward, and they said they were focusing on limiting the role players. They knew Zach Edey was going to go off, so they just wanted to shut everyone else down, and that's what they did. The defense especially stood out to me in the second half.
Yeah, it's interesting that would be the game plan. You know Zach Edey is going to do what he does. Yeah. In fact, if you could waste a lot of energy trying to limit him, you could use up a bunch of fouls, you can run bodies at him. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, he's still the strongest and one of the most talented on the court, so you don't let him have anything easy. You make him work for it, but you're not going to be able to shut him down. And what UConn did on the perimeter in limiting Purdue's looks at the hoop was impressive.
It definitely was, because it also was going to come down to role players for Purdue. They needed to have guys that heated up from behind the arc, and they didn't. They only had 6 three-point attempts and then also only made one of them. So, you know, they did. UConn, props to them, did a really good job of limiting what Purdue could do from deep.
What did it sound like in terms of the fan support for Purdue versus UConn?
Yeah, it was, I would say I was very impressed with Purdue's how well the fans traveled all game, even in the Final Four game against NC State. It was majority Purdue fans, and I would say it was the same tonight. I mean, the Boilermaker fans traveled very well. We were speaking with a lot of them pregame. I think one of the stark images that stood out to me was pregame. We got there about 5 hours before tip, so like 1:30 Arizona time, and the line of students lined up outside to get in. Some of them had been there since 5:30 in the morning. So the dedication was strong, no doubt about that. They were ready to go. So I would definitely say it was impressive how the showing that Purdue had.
And it's not even spring break anymore. Spring break is long past.
It's dedication. A couple of the students told me they had the tickets booked even before the win over Tennessee.
Wow.
So they were ready to go. They were really hopeful. And then, of course, after that, they were just hoping the professors would actually let them leave.
Jenna Fink is with us from Glendale, where UConn becomes a repeat national champ, first one since 06-07. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One of my favorite things about covering the Final Four, I guess mine was in 2016, was the star power. There's people just milling around, wandering around, especially if you have a press credential. Some of them come through kind of the bowels of the stadium. I know there were a lot of former UConn players there, but who did you run into that kind of surprised you?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I don't know if there was any one person that I had like a, oh my gosh, I can't believe I saw them. But like you said, there are so many just media members, people that you hear on the radio, that you watch on TV, that you're shoulder to shoulder with. And you're like, okay, like this is the big leagues. You know what I mean? So that was really cool. I did get to have a conversation with Ian Eagle on a couple of the games ago. He's a fellow Syracuse alum like myself, so
yes.
It's always good to get to connect there. But yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things. It's the biggest stage, and you know, there's a ton of former athletes here, like you mentioned, and it's just a really, really surreal experience to be able to to watch it and cover it.
So, Jenna, you may not believe this, but I'm actually on the campus of Syracuse right now doing my show from Newhouse.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah,
I heard a little bit in the intro, and I was like, "Oh, I think she's on campus." I love that. So,
yes,
gotta get yourself some varsity pizza.
Well, of course,
and hopefully the weather isn't too cold. I know it's April, but you never know. It still snowed in April when I was there. So,
yeah, well, it snowed on my graduation day when I was here eons ago. So, yes, I do remember that. But no, it was actually really nice. Everyone was outside on the quad today for the solar eclipse, and so I was out there in a t-shirt, a short sleeve. So it was actually really nice.
You can't
for
ask
April.
For much better than that.
Exactly. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio with Jenna Fink, who covered the national championship in Arizona. Why do you think Glendale makes such a perfect venue for so many of these big events?
It's such a night. It's like a very new city. There's so much going on. I mean, just steps away from the stadium, I mean, you have all these restaurants and all these other things for fans to do. And I think, like you said, they have experience. They hosted the Super Bowl here 2 years ago, so they have experience with the big events. And it's also just a place that people want to come. The weather is nice. I mean, it was 75 degrees and not a cloud in the sky today. So that makes, you know, people want to be outside. People want to go to restaurants, want to go to bars. So it just makes it a really, you know, kind of a destination in a way, because the weather's so nice and there's so much to do down here.
Mm. And how about the access to the stadium? Because a lot of times that matters, that people don't have to sit in traffic, or they can stay nearby and they can walk.
Yeah, the traffic, I think we had myself a little bit of trouble on the final 4 day getting in, just because they limited off a couple of the ways you could get into the parking. But in general, I think it's very accessible because, you know, it is an NFL stadium, like all, you know, all the final 4 games are played, but it's, you know, a lot of parking. They make it easy for you to get in and out. They label it well, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, besides the 1 day, we didn't have any trouble the rest of the time. So it was pretty good. And like you said, it makes it easier when it's not raining or not cold. It's nice and people are willing to walk and willing to be outside.
UConn and Purdue, obviously a major story with the 2 1-seeds that battled. But how much buzz was there in Arizona for what happened in Cleveland with South Carolina and Iowa and Caitlin Clark and the end of her career?
Yeah, no, the buzz was definitely palpable. I mean, even in the days leading up to the Final Four game, so on Thursday and Friday here, people were asking questions about that. You know, players were answering questions about Caitlin Clark and the run that she's had over her career, and those were questions that were focal points for people's storylines here. The games, you know, we were all glued to the TV on yesterday watching that game, even though we're all doing other jobs too. We're covering the men's tournament, but we're all locked into the women's tournament. So I definitely think there was a buzz just about how much it's grown and how much it has, the sport of women's basketball has grown. So I think you could definitely feel, you know, the buzz this year.
Well, what did they have to say about Caitlin Clark and about the women's basketball kind of groundswell?
I was laughing because one of the players, I forget who it was at this point, you know, it's been a long weekend, but one of the players, someone said, oh, what do you have to say to Caitlin Clark and Iowa? And, you know, like wishing them good luck. And the player's like, oh, she doesn't need any luck from me, you know. So I think it was just kind of funny. They all know, you know, what she's been able to accomplish, and they recognize that she is at the highest level, you know, of college hoops. And so I think it was just funny that moment of brevity where it's just like, you know, we don't need to wish her luck. She doesn't, you know, she's just as good. She doesn't need any of that from us.
I love that it made its way from Cleveland to Arizona, and there were plenty of the men's, not just the men's players, but I'm sure coaches and everybody paying attention. And the way they straddled the games and the Final Fours these last couple of years has been great, too. Jenna Fink is with
the women have their moment.
yes. Jenna Fink is with us from the desert after college basketball played its last game. Well, if you don't mind, before I let you go, what has it been like for you to cover a Final Four?
Yeah, it's been everything I could have asked for and more. This is my first time getting to cover a Final Four. I've covered March Madness a couple of times, but before it was here, the teams that I covered, so Syracuse in 2021, they didn't make it. They lost in the Sweet 16 that year. And then Arizona, you know, didn't make it. But the fact that we were able to cover it here was just such a cool experience. I mean, the fans just sitting pregame, like listening to the player introductions, I got chills just like listening to that. I think that was my moment of like, wow, I'm really here. So, you know, all in all, just a great experience and hopefully the first of many.
Well, congratulations on having that. Certainly is one that can give you confidence moving forward with other events. You can find Jenna on Twitter at Jenna M. Fink, F-I-N-K, an anchor, a storyteller for KVOA in Tucson, getting a chance to cover the Final Four and give us the lay of the land. And I hope you don't have confetti in your hair. Or if you do, I hope you keep it, because that's kind of fun.
I have it in my pocket, an unhealthy amount of confetti that is in my pocket currently. We'll put it next to the credential in some way, but yeah, no, not in my hair, thankfully.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you had fun. Jenna, thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I love that it's her first Final Four, and the enthusiasm and the excitement are there, and you kind of can get it through the eyes of someone who is not just a fan and that far removed from college hoops, but also is covering it the way that many of us would going into our first time at an event like this. And I remember the Final Four that I covered in 16 was in Houston, and I still think I got the best national championship finish ever with Chris Jenkins hitting the buzzer beater for Villanova to topple North Carolina. What a game that was. What an atmosphere. And I was sitting off the corner of the court, maybe 50 yards from, I'm not even sure it was that far, maybe 50 feet from the corner of the court. And the ball that Jenkins launched, not only did it come directly at me, so I knew it was online, it was just about the depth, but it was launched, then you hear the buzzer, then the ball goes through the hoop, and while that was happening, there was this silence from the time he released the ball to the time that it went through the hoop. Obviously not completely quiet, but it was this weird delay where it felt like that ball took forever to get to the hoop. There's this silence, there's this collective breath being held, and the ball goes through the hoop and it's pandemonium. I mean, I've never heard noise like that in my entire life. It was incredible. And while I don't love having games like this in football stadiums, it's not my favorite. It's really hard to see the depth perception if you're actually there. It can be tough and it's a lot. But I understand why they do it, because they can sell out venues like that, of course, and make more money on the gate, on the tickets, but also because of the noise, because of the atmosphere. It's unique to the Final Four now with basketball. And the noise is something I will never forget. That roar that took over and the crescendo of it. And gosh, I got hit by flying seat cushions that were coming down from the upper deck. I mean, it was an experience unlike any other. Even being at the Super Bowl, I guess it was 2 months before that, in the same stadium, wasn't quite that same atmosphere, though it was the Super Bowl the first one that went into overtime. So we appreciate Jenna. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Looking forward to connecting with you, whether it's Twitter. I haven't even opened up the Facebook page yet. Some of you told me you were worried about me on Monday because of the whole process to get up to Syracuse with the eclipse chasing me to Western New York. So I'll get to that in a little bit about my Monday, which was manic, but totally worth it. So it's good to have you with us on this edition of the show. I can't believe college basketball is done, but what a three-week run it was.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
First, I just want to thank you and all your colleagues for keeping me busy while I work all night.
You're welcome.
Hey, Amy, how's it going tonight?
Great.
Good. I just started listening to you about a month ago. I'm a new night pharmacist.
Hey, Amy, I really enjoy the enthusiasm you bring to the early morning hours. It's so nice to listen to someone this enthusiastic this early in the morning.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Thanks for putting on a good show every night. I listen to it at work.
Awesome.
It really helps me get through the night.
I appreciate that you're tuning in. Thank you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's us. Although depending upon where you are, you may still be awake following the national championship. For those people who watched in Arizona, still reveling in it, I can imagine there are a ton of UConn basketball fans and just in general college hoops fans who enjoyed being part of the Final Four. Packed them there into Glendale, Arizona, the home of the Cardinals, but really seems to be a venue that a lot of people enjoy for other major events, so that's neat. Glad for the sport. Lot of eyeballs on both the men's and the women's games this year. The tournament on both sides, men's and women's. Now, the women had more drastic numbers and more drastic explosions in viewership, and we'll get to that. But the men were also setting records through the various weekends and rounds of the tournament. So a lot more people watching college basketball than have in a very long time. And that's in large part due to the star power, but also the fact that you had some blue bloods, right? You had some compelling stories that sucked people in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's my first time really looking at our Facebook page and some of your solar eclipse stories or your plans from Sunday night into Monday. And now knowing how many of you were worried about me getting to Syracuse, which is where I'm hosting the show from tonight. First of four shows in a row on Monday. So Manic Mondays after teaching my sports talk class, getting to do the show from here. And this one was going to be a doozy. Now, it was a doozy for more reasons than I anticipated. If you listened to the show last night, you know that it dawned on me early in last night's show that I might be in for a world of hurt when it came to traffic to Western New York. And so I was pretty nervous. I was pretty anxious. I left the show or left CBS Sports Radio headquarters at 6 o'clock Eastern time on Monday. So drove out of New York City. I get home and my brain is spinning and my husband's asking me what's going on. And I'm telling him I'm not going to be able to take a nap, really much of a nap. I had planned on heading out or heading up to Syracuse from New Jersey around 11:30. So I thought I might sleep for 4 hours. I was mostly packed, but instead, because of the reports of a million plus people flocking to Western New York and not knowing what that would look like, I slept 90 minutes. Woke up, thankfully the coffee really helped, it kicked in, so did the adrenaline, and I get in my car. And while I do see and experience extra traffic the first, say, I don't know, 45 minutes, a lot of cars streaming northward toward the Albany area, so out of New York City going north toward Albany on that portion of the New York State Thruway, then I kind of, I took a different route and I cut out to the northwest, and so was going the long angle of a triangle and went up through Binghamton and turned north and on 81, Interstate 81, toward, well, Ithaca, and then on up into Syracuse. Anybody who's familiar, that will give you my path. I didn't really experience any change at all until I was maybe a half hour outside of Syracuse. And then the traffic was thick. And you start to see signs on the highway, digital signs, advising you to take a different route or to beware of delays around the campus. Now, it was exit 16 because that's kind of the byway where people who want to go north up to the lake or, you know, to the different viewing areas, they could break off there. But there was a ton of traffic around exit 16. So, and here's the other part of it. My phone was dying. Don't ask me why. I guess because I didn't have it fully charged when I left the house. So my phone was dying, but I need my maps to kind of give me a detour. Well, it only worked for a couple of minutes because the phone was not having it. And My Princess Leia is an older vehicle, so the car charger that I have doesn't work with my phone. It tells me it will need 6 hours to charge my phone. In fact, when I plug it in, it actually loses juice. Like, oh, okay, that's helpful. Anyway, so my phone is dying. I just have to leave it be. It's down to 4 or 5%. I just have to let it sit there. So you know what I did, Jay? I pulled out my old Garmin.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I haven't used it in a couple of years. It's dusty. It was on the floor. It didn't have a charge anymore, so I had to plug it in. But that was how I figured out how to get through this detour. Now, I don't know that it would have been all that difficult if I was left to my own devices, because it was me and about 80,000 of my closest friends. So there was an accident around that area where all the traffic was congested. So we get off the highway. We're going a different two-lane road. It's got lights and such, but it also has construction. It took 25 minutes to go 4 miles. So after making relatively good progress, I was essentially stuck. The type of traffic jam where you sit while the light turns 3 or 4 times and you can't get through it. So that was pretty frustrating. Then get back on the highway. So essentially it was a detour around a couple of exits to get back on the highway. Yeah, traffic really busy. I pull off of the highway to get onto campus. Now, campus is built on a hill. Syracuse University is built on a pretty steep hill. And as I'm going up the hill, there's not any traffic, but just pedestrians everywhere. I mean, that's what it was. It was wall-to-wall bodies on campus. And it wasn't just students. It was other people who had come to campus, people who worked on campus, who were outside. At this point, it's about an hour from the total eclipse of the heart. And so I had about an hour. I'm able to get into the hotel. You know, it's just a buzz, a different kind of a buzz. And this is really funny, too. Everywhere you look, people have got their glasses. So, Jay, at least we were part of the masses. Because everywhere I looked, they were hanging on to their glasses. They might be, you know, in one hand, or you could see them on the top of their purses or whatever. Some people were wearing them on the top of their heads. But everywhere you looked, there were the official glasses. Apparently, Syracuse passed them out. And so this was a really big event here on the campus, because there was 90 minutes of the total eclipse. And so they'd been building this up via emails to, as a member of the faculty, getting emails about how big of a deal this was. And so, yeah, they had passed out thousands and thousands of glasses. So they were everywhere. So my hotel room is up on the 5th floor. And believe it or not, I was facing the sun. So I pull out the glasses from the 5th floor. Oh, I'm above the parking garage. There are people lined on the top level of the parking garage, just lined along the wall. Because again, you got a good perspective of the sun there, right across from the main entrance to campus. So I pull out my glasses. I'm practicing. It kind of takes you a little bit, right? Because it's so dark. But here's what's happening in the sky. It's a thicker, a growing ever thicker layer of clouds. Now, they were high clouds, not thick clouds, not rain, not cumulus clouds, the kind that you can't see through. They were high cirrus clouds, but they were essentially covering 90% of the sky. And the sun would... the clouds would move. The sun would be in a brief clearing for a couple of seconds, and I would grab my glasses and I would look at it and try to find it. By the time I found it, the clouds would have covered the sun again. So I was kind of disappointed, thinking, no, you got to be kidding me. And I had been listening to the forecast on the way to Syracuse, and what I heard was Syracuse was really the last... Well, Syracuse was kind of the dividing line for upstate New York and for western New York, where everything east of Syracuse was going to have good sunshine, but everything west of Syracuse was going to be in cloud cover. And that includes Rochester, and includes Buffalo, and it includes Niagara Falls, where we know there were more than 1 million people that flocked to those areas because it was expected to be 4 minutes of the complete eclipse. Anyway, so I had to then leave my hotel room. I grab the equipment. I get over here to Newhouse. We're setting it up. And Jay, you would have laughed at me, because the guy from the technical team who's helping me set up and make sure that I have a portal and I can get through the Syracuse University firewall, he seems very nonchalant about the eclipse. We're about 10 minutes away from it becoming a thing here, and I really want to get outside. And we're in a control room with no windows. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And he says to me, oh, don't worry, there's a feed. So I'm in a TV control room at one of Syracuse, and you know, their equipment that they have that students learn on and that students work on. And there is a live feed, because there's a guy out in the plaza with a camera. And I thought for a couple of minutes he expected me to watch the eclipse from there.
That'd be insane.
Oh my gosh. I was trying to figure out how not to be rude. So I said to him with a smile, are you excited about seeing the eclipse? And he's really kind of deadpans and just says, well, I would like to, but I don't think Mother Nature's going to cooperate. And I'm like, oh no, he's already given up on it. And so I said to him, like, don't give up. You never know. The sun might pop out. I said, it is actually, visible through the clouds every now and then. They're pretty thin. So then we get to this whole thing about how I don't have an ID, right? And so he says, well, we're going to have to get one. You know, let's go down to the office. Or let's go get one is what he said. So we start to walk through the maze of hallways here. I have no idea where we're going. I'm thinking, oh no, he's going to take us to the office. We're going to miss the freaking eclipse. I drove all the way up here and we're going to miss the eclipse. But as it turned out, instead of getting the ID, we went outside and joined the plaza, which was, it was amazing. It was a really cool atmosphere. There were hundreds of people just on the Newhouse Plaza, which is where I used to hang out when I was a grad student here. So that was kind of a deja vu. But because Newhouse is on the corner of the main quad at Syracuse, there's a huge hill, lots of grassy areas. People sit outside on sunny days. You know, they'll eat their lunch, they'll sun, they'll study, whatever. Well, it was thousands of people. People had set up their blankets and their watch parties, and you could hear the noise from the quad, which was awesome. So here's what happens. We get outside. The cloud cover's fairly extensive still. I'm thinking, oh no, come on, just a couple of glimpses. Well, miracle of all miracles, as we get closer to 3:23 Eastern time, which was when the eclipse was supposed to be entering its totality here for 90 seconds in Syracuse, there are these major breaks in the clouds. Jay, it was awesome. It was awesome. And so I did take a few photos. I'll try to post them on social. I actually, my phone did not take great pictures of the sun, but the darkness, it got dark, Jay. It was really crazy. It was eerie as you could see the darkness. And again, the clouds were kind of in front of the sun. And so actually for a while, you didn't even need your glasses because the cloud was muting the light and you could see the moon moving across the sun and you didn't even need to use the glasses most of the time. And then it just got dark. I mean, it got dark. And it was funny because thousands of people that are within, I don't know, 500 yards of me got very quiet. Very quiet.
Was it ominous?
It was. I think we were all kind of taking it in. People were taking videos. I feel badly because there was a faculty member next to me. I didn't realize she was taking a video till after I'd been like, anyway, so now on her video. I mean, the guy who'd been working with me on the facilities, he had a perfect video of the clouds over the eclipse, and he had zoomed in, and you could see it so perfectly. It was great. I think it was an iPhone. It was great video. Anyway, so after the 90 seconds, you start to see it move off, and the light returns, and the sun is peeking through the clouds again a little more brightly, and people start cheering. So that was kind of fun. I didn't expect that. It was really neat to experience it and to hear the reaction. Like going to a movie. Have you ever gone to opening weekend of a movie that is highly anticipated, whether it's one of the big franchises like Marvel or Mission Impossible or Star Wars, and people are so into it that they're cheering and they're laughing and they're really enjoying it? I mean, it was a group watch for the solar eclipse, and I loved it. I love the experience. I'm so grateful we had major breaks in the clouds to be able to see the sun and to experience that. And I'm really hoping that the million plus people that went to Western New York had some of that too. So waiting to hear from some of you. Jay, what about you? How much of it did you see? I know you had a rough day with another flat tire.
Oh gosh, yeah. But I was up. I saw the whole thing. But the picture you sent me, it did not get nearly as dark where I was to where you were.
Mm.
So that was a little disappointed by that. I mean, it was very cool. Don't get me wrong. But I thought it was going to get a lot darker than it did by me.
Gotcha.
But it was awesome. I mean, I had my glasses ready to rock. All my neighbors were outside in their front lawn. We were all just kind of staring at the sun together. It was cool.
Only with a solar eclipse. It's kind of funny too, if like aliens came down and they didn't know what we were doing and we're all just staring at the sun with our funny glasses.
That was it.
Yeah. What about Moose? Did you notice any changes in Moose's behavior?
Moose, I think, slept through the whole thing. So no difference.
Well, you know what? Truth be told, if you and I hadn't made a point of waking up, we probably would have slept through the whole thing too.
Oh,
we
absolutely
slept through the earthquake. Oh no, you didn't. You actually got woken up.
That woke
I take it back.
Up. I was startled.
I slept through the earthquake. I mean, I never sleep through anything, and I missed the earthquake for that reason.
It was crazy in my room. It was insane. I felt the whole thing. I thought my house was going to fall down.
Thankfully, it did not, but maybe crazy. That's why you have a flat tire on two consecutive days.
It's same tire, too.
Yep, it might be the earthquake. Maybe that crack opened up underneath your car.
I don't know. Well, they charged me, and they didn't fix it, so.
Oh, take
it back. Earthquake damage, I suppose.
Demand your money back. I wonder if I can claim earthquake damage for the crack that is creeping across my windshield. Probably not.
Earthquake damage.
Yeah, right. So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. You all were worried about me. I haven't slept more than 90 minutes because after teaching class, and I kind of wondered if I said anything that made sense, the students were great. Pretty quiet, though, and a lot of yawning. So I'm wondering if they were feeling eclipse fatigue. So they got started. They had their assignments. They all participated, but they were pretty quiet. So I'm hoping by week two, they're a little more vocal since they want to do radio. But it was neat to be able to teach, to get back for the national championship game, and then come back over here to Syracuse, to Newhouse on the campus to host the show. So if I say something ridiculous, just accept the fact that I've slept 90 minutes and nod and smile. Or laugh at me. That's fine. But yeah, it was a Monday to be sure.
Ow!
Yeah, that will likely happen before the show is done.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And Lisa Bluter is clearing the bench now. The starters checking out, including the great Caitlin Clark, who is getting hugs from all of her coaches, all of her teammates. Kate Martin has burst into tears as she comes off the floor. 7 seconds to go. A falter with it out between the circles. Down to 3 seconds. Down to two. Down to one. It is perfection for South Carolina. 38 games, 38 wins, and their third national championship. South Carolina 87, Iowa 75. 2024 is absolutely perfect for Dawn Staley and South Carolina. They are the women's basketball national champions.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The final call of Sunday afternoon's game on ABC and the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Ryan Radke is the voice of South Carolina's perfection. So cool for Dawn Staley. And I was thinking about the men and the women and the parallels in the games right now with these two champions. Now, I know South Carolina did not have the repeat from 22 into 23, but has won two of the last three titles. And as we were talking about on this show last night or yesterday about this time, South Carolina has a record of 109-3 over the last 3 years, which have included three straight Final Four appearances. The dominance of UConn, the dominance of South Carolina. Right now, those are the standards in college hoops for both the men and the women. And I wouldn't be surprised, I haven't checked, but I wouldn't be surprised if because of, well, recency bias to be sure, but the way that these two teams routed opponents along the road to this championship or these championships, they're already instituted as the favorites for this time next year. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. By now, maybe you've seen it's become a major headline. The South Carolina-Iowa National Championship, a preliminary audience. Preliminary, meaning they're still collecting their data. Preliminary audience of 18.7 million viewers on average. 18.7 million. You guys, that is incredible. That trumps every NBA game, including NBA Finals, since 2019, of course. Baseball, hockey, golf, NASCAR, on and on. The only sporting events in the United States to have a bigger TV audience in the last 5 years. The NFL, college football, okay, the World Cup, and the Olympics. I mean, that's the company South Carolina and Iowa women's basketball are keeping after Sunday's game. Most watched basketball game since 2019, actually going back to Virginia when the Cavaliers beat Texas Tech to complete that year arc of, you know, the rags to riches, so to speak, being the first team to ever lose to a 16, then coming back the next year and winning the championship. It's possible. Now, we don't know this for sure, but it's possible the ratings for the women's game and the viewership for the women's game on Sunday afternoon could be even greater than those for the men's game on Monday night. And there'd be a few reasons why. Number one, the women's game had a major star, obviously, in Caitlin Clark, and the masses have been following her career, and I think a lot of people rooting for her and for Iowa to win that championship. So there's that draw. That's how we are as sports fans. A lot of times, if it's casual fans, we need name recognition of someone to have a reason to tune in. So that's one reason. But also, the game was on ABC on a Sunday afternoon, which is a major viewing window. Think NFL Sundays and how many people are tuning in during the NFL season to watch sports on Sunday afternoons. But you also have, you know, NBA in that window. You'll get NHL games, of course, Major League Baseball. Think about the Masters, which actually will be on your TV in that same window coming up next Sunday. So Sunday afternoons are known for their sports broadcasts, and then it's a great opportunity. The game was on both ABC and ESPN, as opposed to the men who are airing on TBS and TNT. Now, most of us have basic cable that include those two channels, but there is a chance because of the ABC and because of the one name that has transcended the sport. You could ask a lot of college basketball fans, and they'd probably know Zach Edey. Or maybe Donovan Klingon, maybe. But I would say if you're talking about roping in people who don't typically follow college basketball during the year, and that's where the crazy numbers are coming from. You know, it's not just people who love the tournament, who get into it for the brackets. It's people who are enamored with these particular storylines. And so the way that you boost your audience and the way that you see the groundswell of viewership is people who don't normally watch. And they're watching for one particular reason. And that is why Dawn Staley thanked Caitlin Clark. Thanked her for carrying the heavy weight, for carrying the heavy load, but for lifting up the entire sport. Of course, she's just one member of the Iowa team. Is she the one of the best players in college basketball history? Yes. But South Carolina had a better team and a better balance and a deeper team, which is why the Gamecocks won the title. But in our society, very often when it comes to a sport, again, that we don't know or we don't watch typically, it's star power that attracts us. The NBA does so well in marketing its star power. The NFL, oh my gosh. I mean, they beat that horse. I hate that phrase. I'm not even going to use it. They beat that drum over and over with their star power. How often do you feel like you get sick of seeing Patrick Mahomes' mug or Travis Kelce's mug and it came out Travis Melce. Let's forget that ever happened, please.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Exactly. Who is Travis Melce? Anyway, the NFL is brilliant in marketing its stars and developing that name recognition. Well, this is what happened with women's college hoops, right? You got Caitlin Clark and you got record ratings. 18.7 million viewers on average, which means there were times when it was peaking up and over 20 million people. How about this? The audience number is expected to increase when Nielsen comes out with its final data on Tuesday. But Nielsen is already estimating that the audience peaked. Are you ready for this, Jay? 24 million people. For women's college basketball? That is insane. That's insane.
I was locked in.
Oh my gosh, I love that for the sport. Now, can it sustain that level of interest? I mean, there is going to be somewhat of a drop-off, but actually, Jay and I have already been looking at the WNBA schedule since Caitlin Clark is headed there next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.